Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, I have a special guest, none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, Jr. from Washington, D.C. will be delivering God's word on tonight. And as I always let the listeners know, and especially for the first-time listeners on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to share with us another word from the Lord on tonight, what God has placed on his heart to share with us in his word. So you're definitely going to need your pens and paper and your Bible to follow along, because we don't want anyone to ever take it lightly or for granted or to ever think for one moment that we're making up things as we go. The word of God said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So that's why we want you to have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. We always open up with prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We love you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you hold and have all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You don't go back on your word. You are a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people for your glory. Heavenly Father, we come now asking in the name of Jesus that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, Jr., and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, because your word lets us know that we all have fallen short of your glory. So we thank you for our risen Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, for his shed blood that paid the price for our sins. He paid a debt that he did not owe, but he knew that it was a debt that we could not pay. So we are grateful for Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, shedding his precious, sinless, righteous blood for our salvation. And Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere, because we know that you're already there. So touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus in every situation. And also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We continue to lift up the family of our brother in Christ, Lee Williams. Heavenly Father, continue to strengthen and bless his wife, his family, his church family, and all of those that have been true friends. And not only them, but all those that have lost loved ones, all people that have lost loved ones all over the land. Comfort and strengthen them, Heavenly Father. Let them feel your peace, your love, and your joy, even in their hour of bereavement. And let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we come praying and asking that you will move by your Spirit on tonight through your man of God, that those that are not saved in the name of Jesus, that they be hearing this word on tonight, that you would touch their hearts, that they would be able to receive your word on tonight. They will also be able to open their own mouth, confess their sins and transgressions, and ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And after they become saved, you will show them their God purpose in the earth, that he will fulfill it, that you will get the glory through them. In Jesus' name we pray. So we pray now, Lord, that you will help us to decrease on tonight, so that you may increase in us, that you will get the glory. We just love you. We bless your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us in the form of a question. When God turned your life around, who are you going to tell? Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. When God turned your life around, who are you going to tell? So before we go to our music break, I am going to ask my special guest on tonight for my first time. This is his first time on this worldwide platform. And I thank God for him. I thank God for connecting us. So I'm going to ask him if he would first come forth and share with me and you, the listeners, what God has placed on his heart to share with us as a testimony. So Overseer Joseph Jackson, Jr., I want to first of all say thank you for taking the time out to come on this worldwide platform to deliver God's word. But before you do that, I'm going to ask you if you would share with us a testimony.
Well, thank you so much for the privilege of being with you tonight. I count this a tremendous honor, and I don't take it lightly. And I thank God for allowing me to be placed on your heart to be utilized to say something. My sister, often in our service, will often, when she concludes her prayer, she says, like Bishop Morton, Lord, whatever you do in this season, don't do it without me. I've gone through a lot in my lifetime. I've just turned 75 years old, even though I don't sound nor look like it. And I praise God and thank him for his keeping power. But in those 75 years, I have learned a great deal. I've gone through a lot. Like Lazarus, I am a living testimony. The song says, I should have been dead and gone, but Lord, you let me live on. I am a living testimony. And so tonight, because I've come to encourage somebody, I heard the Lord say, and he took my mind back for many, many years ago when I was in college. And when I went to Howard University to study history and education, I found myself coming on the campus because I had been saved for about 3 years, and I was really steeped in the Word, and I had my big Christ is the answer button on, and I walked around campus, and I was telling people about the goodness and the wonders of God. God in the classroom. And in my humanities class, when one woman tried to tear the book of Job apart, the Holy Ghost came upon me, and I stood up and refuted what she had to say and told her that she was teaching a lie. And I began, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, to tell her what the word really said. And when it was all over, the room was deadly quiet. And she stood up and she looked at me and she said, my God, I've never heard a student explain the word to me like that, you and I are going to have to sit down and talk, young man, because you've shown me things that I didn't know. But I say that to say this. The Bible tells us to be careful of our friendships. You can't hook up with light and darkness and think that you're going to win them, because most of the time they're going to win you over. So this is for somebody tonight that's listening. I found myself caught up with a group of people that I should not have been with. And because of being with them, I found myself falling away from God. And at one point, I wanted to do my thing and God's thing. And even though the scripture came to my mind and said that no man can serve two masters, because he said you'll either love one or love or hate the other, I said to him, I can do both, and I tried to do it. But as I did it, I found myself in a miserable state. And one day I got so mad at God, I said, you know what, I wish you had never saved me. I wish you had left me alone so that I could live my life the way I want to live my life. I wish I never knew you. Little did I know that the love of God was so great to me that he did not hear that. Or when he did, he did not move upon it right away, because just a few days later, I was in my little efficiency apartment, and an efficiency apartment is a small little room. And I found myself, in those days, they didn't have self-cleaning ovens. And so you had to use something called Easy Off. You sprayed it on the inside, and you turned on the pilot, and you closed the door. And it would heat up the inside, and you would have to later go in and clean it out. What I didn't realize was a friend of mine had come by. We were sitting by laughing and joking while I was cleaning, and I had the doors to my balcony closed. The windows were closed, but thank God the air conditioning was running. And as we were sitting there laughing and talking, he said to me, do you mind if I smoke? And I said, no, man, go ahead. And he pulled out a cigarette and pulled out the matches. And suddenly he said to me, I'm tired. Do you mind if I lay down? I said, go ahead. And at that point, the Holy Ghost said, get up and go into the kitchen and look at the stove. When I went to the stove, I saw that the pilot had not lit. And for the past 2.5 hours, gas had been escaping into that small edifice. If that boy had lit that match, you and I wouldn't be talking tonight. But when I saw what happened, I turned the gas off, opened up the doors, threw up the windows, and began to walk him around the room to wake him up to make sure that he had not died from exposure to the gas. When I got him together, I left the room and went outside. It was raining. And as I walked to the streets of Washington, the tears were strolling down my face. And I heard the Spirit of God say, so I'm upset with you folks that don't believe that God speaks, because I'm a living witness that if you walk with him and you are part of his life, he's a part of you and he will talk to you. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I thought you said you wish I'd never saved you. I thought I heard you say you wish you never knew me. If I had not protected you, you would be standing before me right now, and you would be in a horrible position. And you said to me, you wish I never saved you? Think again, son. Think again. And I stood there in the middle of the street and raised my hands and praised my God. I didn't care who saw me, because I was alive and well, glory to God, because of the goodness and the graciousness of God. So I'm saying to somebody tonight, don't halt between two opinions. If God has saved you, you need to do like Andre Crouch told you to do. Ask God to take you back to the place that you first believed.
Yes,
so that you can do the work that he called you to do. God, glory to God. But I got to stop. Because I'm getting caught up. See, I get happy off my own testimony. Nobody else has to get happy. I get happy because the songwriters used to say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, glory to God.
My soul.
I don't know about yours, but my soul cries, hallelujah.
Cries out, hallelujah.
God, hallelujah for saving me. Take it, Brown. Take it, Mr. Brown. Take it. Hey,
Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, listen. Listen. Overseer Jackson. That is a powerful testimony. That is truly a powerful testimony. Only God. Nobody did that but God. So I want to thank you. Somebody needed to hear that testimony. I was blessed by listening to that testimony. I know what the power of God can do. So I know that someone was blessed by hearing your testimony. And so that's why I thank God for you, and I thank God that every guest that comes on for the first time on this worldwide platform, I always ask them to share a testimony first, because God said he would share his glory with no one. So people need to know that just like God did it for you, he's the same God. He has no respect to a person. He can do it for them too. So we thank you for sharing that testimony on tonight. I know that someone was truly blessed by that testimony, and you're going to be even blessed even more by the word that God has placed in you to deliver to the people of God on tonight as you get ready to deliver a word from the Lord. So I thank you once again for sharing that powerful testimony with me and the worldwide platform listeners on tonight. So we're going to go to our music break right now. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than my first-time guest on tonight from Washington, D.C., Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, Jr. Enjoy the music break. total praise. God deserves our total praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, God is worthy, truly worthy to be praised. Before I bring my guests on tonight to deliver God's word, once again, I pray and hope that you do have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. But I want to give a shout out real quick to my pastor and bishop, Bishop James A. Jennings, Jr., the pastor of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit. And also I'd like to give a shout out to Pastor Isaiah Tillman, Jr. and First Lady Jean Tillman at the Morning Star Baptist Church where I serve as their musician. I want to give them a shout out as well. And also to my family and to my listening audience, I want to give a shout out to every last one of you. So right now I am so excited to be able to yield the mic to none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, Jr. of Washington, D.C. I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I appreciate this, like I said, this great privilege to be with you and to those whom the Lord has called to listen to your program. And we certainly pray God's blessings upon your endeavor that he would make it go global, bless God, and do great things in the hearts and the minds of the people. I'm going to email Richard Smallwood when I finish the service and thank Richard for playing for me. Richard and I go back a long way. We go back a very long way because we started out together in the great Howard University Gospel Choir in its early development. And so we have a tremendous, tremendous friendship for which I am so very, very grateful. I honor God tonight because I like the song that you played, but I remember when you opened up your service, you started with the song War. That thing meant a lot to me when I first heard it. But it reminded me of something that Shirley Caesar used to sing, and she used to sing, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over this land, but we've come to tear your kingdom down. If I can't tear it down, I'm going to do some damage to it. But I want you to know my name, sir. I want you to know my name. I want you to know my name. Because I want you to wake up every morning and get nervous if you see me get up. Because I want you to know that whatever God gives me to do that day to come against you, the battle is on. And so we honor God, we praise him, and we magnify him. We've got to go back to basics, Pastor. We've got to go back to basics, Pastors, all of y'all that are listening to me. We've got to get back to basics. We've taken a great deal of time to teach people about the doctrine that we have about getting money and prosperity, and they got that down pat. But we forgot to teach them about the rapture. We forgot to teach them about their tribulation. We forgot to tell them that this world is not your home. You're just a sojourner here. You're not going to stay here. We forgot to tell them that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And if you die, you will not miss them both. We've got to get back to basics. The Bible said hell has enlarged itself. It wasn't created for us. It was created for the devil and all of his angels. But when we refuse to accept Christ as Savior, that will be your portion as well. And so it's paramount to us now to get up. Wake up. Because the Bible says the night is coming when no man can work. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming like a thief in the night. But he did what the thief did not do. He told you he's coming back. But we acting like we don't know. The Bible said we live in perilous times. If you don't think about that, if you don't think you are, look around at you now. Global warming is bringing all kinds of catastrophes to our country and to countries all around. There are earthquakes in Diver, meaning many places. Things are happening that never happened before. Jesus is coming back again.
Lord, yes.
Ready or not? Ready or not? He's coming back again, and you don't want to be left here. You want to catch the last flight out. Because when he comes, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain will go up with him forever, be with the Lord. And those of you that are left here, my God, you got some things to deal with. But that's not where my message is tonight. I just wanted to say to somebody, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And it's time for Zion to wake up, because the Bible said when Zion travailed, when she got what she did, what she was supposed to do, she brought forth, and she brought forth people who became followers of Christ. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify and we glorify you. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your kindness. We bless you for your mercy. You've been good to us. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it, because you've been gracious, you've been kind, you've been good. The pandemic is raging all around, but like the 291st Psalm, Father, you have protected many of us, even those that, well, decided they weren't going to get the shot. Look on them and touch their minds. But, Lord, help the people everywhere. Folks are dying, dying, dying. Death has come to so many homes. God, help your people now. Look on our children. They're caught up in so much stuff, Father, so much stuff, so much. The things that they've seen on television have desensitized them, and their minds have allowed them to embrace things that their fathers called sin. Help us. We need your help. We ain't asking you now in the name of Jesus to be with us and help us, less of us and more of you. And Holy Ghost, do what you decide to do tonight. We ask you now to touch. We ask you to heal. We ask you to deliver, and we ask you to set free. Have your way. Anoint us to go forward in your power and in your strength. And let the word, God, get through to somebody's heart.
Yes, Lord.
That they might receive what the word has to say. Bless God. If you have your Bible, and I like what Dr. Brown said, make sure you have your pencils and paper, because a lot of times, I notice now when I go in prayer, I take my iPad with me, because when I do go in prayer, God starts to speak, and he'll drop a thought in your mind, and I discover that those thoughts are fleeting. They'll come and they'll go, and you'll never get it back. So there's a little tidbit in my mind. I got my iPad with me, and I tell him just a moment, and I turn around and drop a little note, and then I said, okay, now let's continue in our conversation. Bless God. But take your pads and pencils out, because the Bible said he gave us a fivefold ministry, and I'm happy to be a part of that ministry, because my gift is teaching. I went to school to be a teacher, but it didn't happen. I went and joined a law firm, but that's another testimony, what God did to me while I was in the firm and what I was able to do and the great people that I have met. The Bible did tell you that God will bring you before great men. I've served presidents of the United States. Met President Anwar Sadat, the late Anwar Sadat of Egypt. I've walked the halls of Congress. I've met captains of industry, and God has blessed me. But I want you to realize that there is a scripture that has really become a part of my life, and that scripture, and then I'm gonna give you the one for tonight and move on. Got to move on. But that scripture is Jeremiah 29:11-12, where God turns around and tells us, I know my thoughts towards you. They're not of evil. Well, let me see. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's the thing that I love. God has an expected end for me. Then Lord, shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hear you. That is a blessing to me. And I've come to encourage somebody. If you need something from God tonight, open your mouth and ask him. You have not because you asked not. He told you that you've been lonely. He told you that he made a way for you of escape. He told you that he'd give you the desires of your heart as long as you walked uprightly before him. He told you if you don't have because you didn't ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Learn to do what the word says.
Amen.
In my class a long time ago, work the word. You can't work what you don't know. If you don't know the word, if you don't take the time to study the word, how are you going to use the word? When the enemy comes against you like a standard, what are you going to have to raise up against him? How are you going to fight him off if you don't know the word of God? The Bible says the Holy Ghost brings back to your remembrance. Well, how can he tap into your mind if you never put anything in there? Now, that's something to just think about. Oh, God help us. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it to the ground. And they had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. In other words, the Bible says these folks came and captured everybody. They took everybody that was in that little town. Normally they would just killed you and went on about their business, but they took them alive, all of them. And the Bible says they killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. These men lost everything in one day. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by the fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Let me read that again, because I'm going to hit that again. So David and his men wept. They cried. And they didn't cry to themselves. The Bible said they cried aloud until they had no more strength to weep. They couldn't cry another tear. That's how hard they cried. David's two wives had been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. But David found strength in the Lord his God. There are so many topics that I could use this evening. The one I had was, it had to happen. And David had to go through this, as you will have to go through some things. Another topic could be encouraged. And another topic could be, there will be glory after this. You said, Pastor, there's so much going on. There's so much going on in the Word of God. God can take one scripture and turn it into so many things to be a blessing to us at whatever crosswords we've come to. I've discovered that life has a way of taking us through. But I came tonight to encourage somebody, let you know that you can make it. Why? Because God said, I know my thoughts towards you, and I'm going to get you to an expected end. I know what you don't know. All I need you to do, and I want you to write this down, all I need you to do is to learn to trust me when you can't trace me. Trust me when you can't trace me. Know that even though you can't see what I'm doing, know that I'm operating behind the scenes. I've not left you hanging. I've got a motive for what has happened. I've got a plan, and that plan is part of what's going to bring you and make you the person that I've called you to be. I got a plan for you. And you got to know that if you're in Christ, you're in the plan. You're in the plan.
Amen.
Life is a way of sending you through some changes, and it can do it at a moment's notice. You can be sitting at home watching your favorite show, and all of a sudden the telephone will ring. And you get a call from your doctor saying, I need to see you. Normally your doctor would tell you that after you've had an exam with him, what was going down and whatever. But when he says, I need to see you, he's saying something to you, something specific to you. He's saying to you, he's simply saying, get ready. I'm getting ready to do something special for you. David had a situation where he had gone to fight a war with another king. When he got there, they discovered that because he belonged to the enemy side, that they didn't want him to be a part of the battle. and they sent him home. But when he got home, he saw the flames of the village that he lived in blazing, because he had not left enough warriors behind to protect his people. You've got to be careful when you leave home. You've got to learn how to protect your family by pleading the blood over your household.
Amen.
Now, you don't know where death is. You don't know where any evil thing lurks anymore. You've got to plead the blood. That's what the old folks used to do. They used to tell us you have to plead the blood of Jesus over yourself and over your mind. But David forgot to leave enough people back at home to ward against an enemy that would come. He didn't see the enemy coming. And so they snatched his wives and they took his children and they took them off to carry them off, to sell them off as slaves. Normally in those days, they killed you. They just came into a village. You didn't have no protection. It was just their thing. They would just take your life and go on about their business as though nothing had happened. But they took these folks because they were going to sell them off. And when David and his men got home, they discovered that what had happened, and the Bible said they were so upset about what had happened, so they broke out in tears. They went to wailing, they went to screaming, they went to hollering. So all of you black folk that want to tell me that black men don't cry, I got words for you. Men do cry. The Bible said Jesus wept. He shed tears. Ain't nothing unmanly about shedding a tear when you're hurt. That's one of the reasons why women are stronger than most of us, because they know how to let their emotions go out. My dad taught me that things are going to hurt you, and sometimes you may have to go off by yourself, but let the tears flow, because when they flow, they're wiping away the slate that's going to help you to make it through the storm.
David
died to the point that they looked at David, the people that loved him, they looked at him and said to him, "We're going to kill you. We went with you. You didn't leave enough of us back here to protect our families. Our families are gone. My wife, my child, they're all gone because we followed you. David, if I could kill you, I would." And the Bible said David had to go get by himself and talk to God. And the scripture that I love so much was, it said, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord."
Oh, yes.
And that's a message for somebody tonight. You need to learn how to encourage yourself, because the things that have happened to you came upon you not to destroy you, but they came to make you. You are because of the experiences that you've had in life. And so God is conditioning you now to be in a place where he can use you in a greater way. It had to happen. You had to go through that trial. You had to go through that tribulation. You had to go through that heartache. You had to have your heart broken. You had to lose that job. You had to go through so that you could know that God was still a way maker. How are you going to stand up and tell people that God is a healer and you've never been sick? How are you going to tell God will feed you when you've never been hungry? How are you going to tell God, people, that God will make a way when your way has always been made for you? You've got to go through. It had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen. If you were going to walk with God and if you were going to be successful with him, it had to happen. You had to experience heartache. You had to have it happen. Job turned around after he had gone through all the hell he went through. And even after his wife said, "Listen, baby, I love you dearly, but my 10 children are gone." They gone. Excuse me. My allergies are kicking now. She said, "All my 10 children are gone. I got to find 90 people, 10 people apiece, to carry my children to their grave. I can't follow God like you did." But Job kept his faith. He traced God when he could. He trusted God when he couldn't trace him.
Yes,
I don't know why everything that I had in one day. I don't know why my wife feels the way she feels. I don't know why you allowed all of these medical conditions to come upon me. I don't know why, but guess what, God? I love you nevertheless. I'm going to trust you through all this nevertheless. And when it was all over, the Bible said God restored to Job double for his trouble. Not only that, Job turned around and said, you know, I heard the old folks talk about the goodness of God. I heard them say what God can do. He said, but it wasn't until I went through the things I went through that I found out who God really was.
Lord Jesus.
I didn't know he was the keeper that he was until I lost all hope. I didn't know that he would make a way. I didn't know that he was the healer that he became. I didn't know these things. I saw him do things for other folk, but it wasn't until I went through. It had to happen. David, how you going to encourage yourself? Well, he said, stop and think. He said, when I was a kid, I was sitting on the backside of the mountain and I was watching over the sheep, and suddenly I heard a roar and I heard a scream, and when I looked up, I saw a lion. And the lion had taken one of the kids in one of the kids, meaning one of the sheep, in his arms and in his mouth, and it was going off with him to eat him. And I, being a shepherd, went after him because I didn't want him to kill that sheep. That lion was bigger than me. That lion was greater than me. That lion was ferocious, and that lion was hungry. He said, but the anointing of God came upon me, and I was able to kill that lion. It had to happen. Why you say that, David? Because just a few months later, I'm sitting there, and I hear the same scream coming from another one of the lambs, and I looked around, and a bear had gotten a hold of him and was taking him, and I jumped up, and I ran after the bear. David, you can't beat no bear. Listen, if the Lord gave me the ability to beat the lion, he'll give me the ability to beat the bear. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon him. The Bible said after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Half of us ain't got none because we ain't allowing him to use us the way he wants to. David killed the bear. And he had to kill the bear. It had to happen. Why? Because David did not realize that just a few months later, he was going to meet one of the greatest things that he had to fight. And that was Goliath. Everybody else was scared of him. But because of what David had gone through, and because David had seen what God had done for him, David got tired of this Philistine coming the people of God and making them fearful to come against him. And David said, I'll go. And he went under the anointing and took Goliath's head. Because God gave him the ability to do so. So what does David say? If God allowed me to kill the bear, if God allowed me to kill the lion, if God allowed me to kill Goliath, God is going to give me back what I lost.
Yes, Lord.
He's going to give me back everything that I lost. And he went to God and asked God, for, can I go up? Can I pursue? Will I recover? You better learn how to talk to God. You better learn how to talk to God. And especially in this day and time, you better learn how to talk to him. And you better ask him, can you hear his voice and discern who his voice is? Eli taught Samuel how to hear the word of God. When Samuel was lying on the bed, and God called him, and he didn't know the voice of God. Eli had to tell him, go back. And if he calls you, say, here am I. Tell me. Speak to me. And the Lord spoke to him. God still speaks.
Lord, yes, he does.
All you got to do is listen. It had to happen. It had to happen. You had to go through what you went through. because God wants to take you to another place. It had to happen because God's going to send you to somebody who's going through what you're going through, and you're going to be the one that's going to deliver the testimony to them to tell them that they can make it. Yeah, you had the baby out of wedlock. Yeah, you had the problems and the situations, but somebody else is coming along that's going to need you to help them through the same crisis. You're going to have to sit back and say, sister, you ain't got to marry the boy if you don't want to. You ain't got to kill the child. You can take care of the child. God will help you to do what has to be done. God will make a way somehow. How do I know? Because I've been there. You'll be able to tell them, yeah, I was sick. The doctors told me I wasn't going to make it. Oh, my God. He told me I wasn't going to make it. But guess what? I know what God can do.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm going to close out here. A few years ago, here's another part of the testimony. A few years ago, I did not realize that the enemy had desired to kill me. Just like Peter was told by Jesus that the enemy desired to sift you or kill you as wheat. But I went to a service, and I sat in the service. I didn't want to go to my service that morning. I just felt the connection because God said, go see, and he gave me the name of the pastor to go see. I'd never been to the service, and I sat in the back, and I enjoyed the message that he brought. And as I got up and got ready to leave, he looked back, and he said, is that Elder Jackson back there? And I just waved at him, and he said, come up front. I want to talk to you a minute. And when I went to the altar to meet him and greet him, he looked at me and began to speak in tongues. And he said, son, the devil has desired to kill you. And he has set the situation in motion that is going to take you out of here. But I hear the Lord saying, I've stopped his efforts in the tracks. I've stopped it from happening. A few weeks later, I went to just have a general checkup, and the doctors told me, if you had not come when you came, because of the condition that had come upon your body, you would have died, son. You would have died. So see, don't tell me that God won't prolong your life. Don't tell me that God won't keep you. Don't tell me that God is not a healer. Don't tell me, because I know what he's done. In closing, a man on Facebook told me the other day that God no longer uses the spiritual gifts. They died when the apostles died. And I wrote him back and said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what God you serve, but I know the one that I serve. And I know what he's done for me. And since he's done what he's done for me, I've got to believe his report. The book said, whose report shall you believe? I'm believing his report. Why? Because I had to go through it to discover who he was. And this is the last statement I'm going to make. There will be glory after this.
Glory after
this. Glory after what you've gone through. Pastor, how can you say that? Go back to the story where Jesus and the disciples were walking, and they saw a blind man, and they asked Jesus a question. They said, who sinned, this man or the parents? Who sinned that he should be blind from birth? And Jesus looked at him, and I guess he probably said, how could the man sin? If he was born blind from birth, he was inside his mother's womb. How could he sin? He was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but he committed no sin. How could this be? And then he turned around and said, now, he said, this was done for the glory of God.
Well,
to the
yes.
glory. And the Bible said he called the man over and put his hands on the man's eyes and gave him his sight. And the man went off rejoicing and praising and magnifying God. I heard you, doctor, when you came on, you said, I saw that thing where you said, I read it where it says, who are you going to tell about what Jesus has done for you? Who are you going to tell? That man ran and told everybody. There will be glory. God's going to get the glory because of what you've gone through. You hang in there with him, he's going to get the glory. He's going to get the glory. That's why you went through. It had to happen. So the next time something comes against you, just look to heaven and say, okay, it had to happen. Now my question to you is, how do I get through this? How do I make this? How do I get through this successfully? How are you going to get me out of this? I'm looking for you to work my miracle and come with the expectation. You've got to have the same expectation that that man at the Gate Beautiful had. He sat there, and he wanted some money from the apostles. The apostles said, we ain't got no money. But the Bible says he expected to receive from them. Then they said, look on us. The book said he expected. What are you looking for? He expected to receive. And when they turned around, he turned around and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And the man got up and went to leaping and screaming and howling and telling everybody about what Jesus has done. I'm through, doctor. It's all part of his plan. He said, I know my thoughts towards you, but I'm going to bring you to an expected end. But through that expected end, you remember what Job said? Man that's born of a woman is a few days, but those days are full of trouble. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and I know that he's able to make a way out of no way. Be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight, Overseer Jackson. I thank you for that word on tonight. I received that word, and I know that the listeners, the worldwide listeners over this worldwide platform has received this word, and it's our prayer and hope and desire that they have received this word, and they receive it in love. And I thank you for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight before you delivered the word of God. So I want to say unto the listeners that have dialed in, I'm looking at my screen right now. I see a lot of listeners dialed in after you shared your testimony. But I want to say to the listeners that dialed in, that did not get a chance to hear your testimony, you need to go back to my website and pull up the show from today and hear the whole matter. Listen to his testimony, and you can see why he's so powerful and anointed to deliver God's word. So, again, he shared with us a powerful testimony on tonight like I never heard before. So if you didn't hear the testimony, go to my show's website at blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassador-vessels and pull up today's show and listen to it from the beginning to the end so you can be caught up with his testimony, and then you will be able to even receive the word of God even more clearer after hearing that testimony from my guest on tonight. So, Overseer Jackson, I want to thank you for sharing that word, sharing your testimony. But I want to give you a chance and an opportunity right now before I release you. Could you please share with the worldwide listeners on tonight how you can be contacted if anyone want to get in contact with you? What is your contact information? And then after that, you can give any shout-outs that you'd like to give.
Okay, you can reach me. I'm not one of those folks that got all the websites and whatever. But you can always reach me through the Facebook, my Facebook page, or you can go to ElderJEJackson@yahoo.com and hit me up. Or you can call me on my home phone, 202-563-3061. That's 202-563-3061. And the website, email again is Elder, ElderJEJackson@yahoo.com. Every Sunday morning I'm on a line that you can dial into, and that's 1-605-475-6006. That's 1-605-475-6006, and then you just dial in the code 712-7809. And we meet every Sunday morning at 9:30, and we also meet again on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. by using that number. And so I'm going to be talking to Dr. Brown a little later on to find out how I can do some other things, because he has a handle on things that I'd like to know about. And that's why I honor God tonight for allowing us to hook up. That's why the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of God. And I was stunned when you asked me to speak, and I'm just excited and happy that I was able to accommodate you. Thank you.
I give God the glory. Nobody but God. That's how God does. That's how he works. He knows how to put his people together that he gets even more glory. He said, well, two or three are touching and agreeing and on one accord that he would be in the midst. And he's no shorter than his word. So we thank God for being who he is. Again, as I said in the beginning of the program on tonight, I thank God that he's not like man. He cannot lie. He's still watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people for his glory. So, Overseer Jackson, is there anyone that you would like to give a shout-out to before I release you?
Well, just to say hello to my sister, Lorraine Jackson Seals, in Philadelphia, and her best girlfriend, Karen, Karen Williams. I mean, they've been, and to Deacon Warren Powell, who've been tremendous people in my life. I honor God for each and every one of them, and for just all the people that the Lord has placed in my life. I appreciate you. I'm like the late Emily Bram Grimm used to say, we give honor to all we know to call, a protocol, and don't know to call. So thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, for the listeners that did not get a chance to hear this, my special guest on tonight was none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, Jr. from Washington, D.C., and I already know that this is not going to be your last time being on this worldwide platform. I can see that already, that God is going to use you again to deliver another word from the Lord over this worldwide platform, and I thank him for him connecting us together. So you continue to be faithful unto God, because just like you said, God is not through with you yet, because like you said with your powerful testimony, had the Lord not been in the midst, if that young man had lit that cigarette in that room, both of you all would not be here. You would not be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I thank God for sparing your life so you can be a witness over this worldwide platform on tonight. So for those that missed the spiritual food for thought on tonight, I'm going to repeat it once again. It came in the form of a question, and it kind of ties in with the message on tonight. See, God knows what we all need to hear. And Elder Overseer Jackson did not know what my spiritual food for thought was. And so that's how God works. So the spiritual food for thought for tonight came in the form of a question asking, when God turned your life around, who are you going to tell? Or in other words, who are you telling about the goodness of Jesus? Who are you sharing your testimonies with that will give God glory? So that's the spiritual food for thought on tonight. So I want to get ready to close out in prayer. I want the listeners to know that once again, every second Thursday night, Bishop Rosemary Jaru from Slidesdale, Louisiana, brings forth God's word. I have Minister Tawan Eppinger from the Morningstar Baptist Church every first Saturday night delivering God's word. Every first Thursday night, Deacon Marvin Cox comes forth delivering God's word every first Thursday night and every second Saturday night. Every third Saturday night, Deacon Sunday School Superintendent Deacon Eddie Blakely from the Morning Star Baptist Church delivers God's word. Then I have other guests, and Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from the Victor's Outreach Ministries in Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be back with us shortly, because we want to continue to keep him in prayer as he is recovering. We want to continue to keep him in prayer, so I'm giving him a break and let the Lord heal his body. So he continues to faithfully tunes in to this worldwide ministry, even though he's not delivering God's word for now, but he will be back. We want to ask the Lord to continue to heal him and recover him and restore him so that he can be even more stronger when he comes back sharing the word of God over this worldwide platform. So we're going to close out for tonight. I'm asking all listeners to keep me in your prayers, keep this worldwide ministry in your prayers. Know that I love you, and I continue to pray for you, continue to pray for me and this worldwide platform, that God will continue to be glorified through it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your man of God on tonight who has delivered your word. Continue to bless him, Lord. Continue to strengthen his body, his mind, and spirit. Continue to use him for your glory in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless your people, Heavenly Father, that are being faithful doers of your word and not just hearers only. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are in total control at all times. You don't slumber nor sleep, and we thank you that all power in heaven and earth is still in your hands. We thank you that the blood of Jesus still works, and it will never lose its power. For this, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, as I always say, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until the next time, continue to lift each other up in prayer. Good night.
Precious lamb. So much I owe.